And like Sean said, my name is Pat Brennan. I've gotten the privilege to work over the last 18 or so years with our students. Welcome to all of you, especially our first-time guests, those of you who are joining us online. And special welcome, these are my people right here. I could stand on this side of the stage to our students. Grateful for you guys being in here. The rest of you just get to listen in, but I'm glad we get to hang out together. I want to have a conversation this morning about doubt. And as Sean said, we've been in some conversations around these big feelings that we have. We've talked about anger, grief, joy, hope. And as you saw in the video, I think what I've noticed, maybe you've noticed, as we go through life, the big feelings that we have, sometimes they can get in the way. The video kind of shows this giant beach ball, like we're carrying around this giant thing when we have doubts. And sometimes you can't see. Sometimes you just gotta lug it around. Sometimes you have to fix someone's hair that you messed up. But I wonder if you're in here and you have ever had so much anger that it feels like you're carrying this around every space you go into, and try as you might, you just don't know what to do with it. You gotta reserve a whole row when you bring this in. Maybe for some of you, it's doubt. Maybe some of you, it's grief. Ultimately, the feelings that we have can get in the way of what we might want to see, do, or how we might want to grow in our faith. And the truth of the matter is, maybe for you, you're like, you know, Pat, I don't have doubts like that. That's not me. But maybe you come in with some doubts that are this sized. Like, well, that's not so bad. A little bit smaller. Ultimately, though, what we find is it's hard to carry this around and do life and parent your kids and go to your job when ultimately you just have to feel like you have to reckon with this doubt you might have, and perhaps even for some of us, we go, well, make sure of balance. Well, I just have this one. And again, maybe this might seem easier than carrying that, but I wonder for all of us, what would it look like to have a conversation about doubt today, whatever size we feel like we carry, knowing that everyone in the room is carrying something. Maybe you're a guest here and you feel like, hey, I come in with all these doubts. So I got invited by a friend. Maybe you drove past the sign and you thought this should be the morning I should walk in. Maybe you've been coming here for years, sitting in the same seat in the same row and still not totally sure if you can overcome these doubts. What I want to suggest to us this morning is there are three invitations that Scripture has for us as we reckon with our doubt. And I wanna start by this question, and then we're gonna pray together and dive into some scriptures. Where do we look to when we have doubts? I think we can answer that question. We will leave with a step to reckon with the doubts that we have. Now, if you're here going, can you just answer all of my doubts? This is the wrong message for you. Sean will clean that up next week, I think. But what I wanna do is I wanna give some tools, because if we all have doubts, if all of us face these things, if we all have these big doubts that we bring in, sometimes maybe they feel like different sizes, what can we do together to take a step to receive an invitation to reckon with those doubts? So I'd love to pray over our time, over our scripture, and then we dive in. And if you're new with us, maybe you've never even prayed before, that's just our opportunity to go to God and offer our time. And we'd love to invite you in, or you can just listen in as we do that. But let's pray. Father, we just give you our time. God, although for some of us, we walk in with our doubts, our fears, our angers, we walk in with stuff. God, can you just help us set that aside for a moment and have a moment with you? Might we all gain some clarity? Might we all receive an invitation of what we can do? Where do we look to when we have doubts? God, we trust you'll meet us in the space. We trust that you come to us in our doubts, and we lift all of this up in your son's name. Amen. Well, I want to spend some time in John chapter 20. And before we go to our key passage, what you need to know is this. John chapter 20 happens after the resurrection, and we learned a little bit about that last week. And so John chapter 20 allows us to see a little bit of what was it like for the disciples, the people who knew Jesus, after Jesus had come back. But what we find is that early on, Jesus' disciples were in a locked room by themselves. Now, people suggest that was maybe because of fear or persecution, confusion, and so they find themselves in a locked room. We read that the disciples are in a locked room, and Jesus appears to them and offers them proof. He says, hey, put your hands here and your fingers here. Notice the marks on my side and my hands and believe. But then we pick up in John chapter 20, verse 24, And I want to tie this to what we just referred to. In John chapter 20, verse 24, it says this. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, in case you were wondering, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, history has labeled Thomas, actually doubting Thomas. If you grew up in any sort of Sunday school situation, they'd refer to Thomas, the doubting disciple. And I think it's super unfair because you read, Jesus appeared to all the disciples except Thomas, and they had the same experience. Like, was Thomas just getting coffee? Did his alarm not go off? Like, for some reason, Jesus appeared to all the disciples except Thomas. What would it feel like to be Thomas? You show back up, you have the same fear, confusion, doubt as your friends. You witness the same crucifixion of Jesus. You've asked the same questions. You've journeyed this time together. And you show up and they go, "Hey, guess what? Jesus was just here." You're like, "Are you serious? Jesus was just here. He just showed himself to all of us." Now, I think it's fair if we were in Thomas's shoes to feel confused, maybe to feel a little angry, to feel like maybe he wanted that experience as well. Wonder how many of us have sat in these seats or sang these songs or opened scripture, and we've heard people around us, maybe in a group or in a setting, and they've said, "I've had this experience with Jesus," and what you've just said is, "I want that too." And you carry this around going, "I'm not sure that Jesus will give me the same." When you've got a new diagnosis that all of a sudden rocks your world and rocks your faith. When you've heard about a friend who's struggling, you just don't feel like you can help. When you watch one of your kids go through a time that all you can do is pray for them and not really sure how to lean in. When you sense your marriage falling apart and you actually don't know what you can do and you wonder to yourself, "I've seen God show up for other people, but I wonder if he's gonna show up for me." And so that actually leads us to our first invitation. And what I wanna say, again, if that's you, I wanna offer this invitation from our scripture, from what we see Thomas do. And my challenge is to you today, as you leave, as you go to lunch, as you talk with your family, might we take one invitation and just ask, what would it be like if we stepped into this invitation today as we experience these doubts? So the first invitation is this. The first invitation of where do we look to when we experience doubt is to look up. To look up. Because ultimately, we worship a God who welcomes our questions. Maybe you've come from a tradition that you haven't heard that before. Don't ask any questions. Just believe this and do this. But ultimately, we worship a God that welcomes our questions. But even with a God who welcomes our questions, we need to be willing to ask the hard questions. And I wonder how many of us have held back on our questions because we're not really sure God could handle it. We're not really sure that God can take the questions that we have. "God, why are you letting this happen? Why am I witnessing this? Why am I seeing this?" And ultimately, when the invitation is to look up, God says, "Bring me your questions, bring me your doubts." I love Thomas's response. Thomas is like, "I want that too. I want to have the same experience that they did." He didn't shy away from going, "Oh, okay. Like, thanks guys for letting me know. I guess I'll just fall in line." He said, "I want to see that too." And he goes, "Unless I see Jesus do this." Do you know that we worship a God who's strong enough to take our questions and our doubts? Do you know that we follow a God that even if you sit here and go, "I'm coming back next week. I really don't know if I believe," God says, "Come on back next week. Bring all your questions." Do you know that we worship a God who takes the time to say, "I'm willing to listen, I'm willing to hear, I want your questions, I want community with you, I'm not gonna force it, I'm just gonna be welcome in open arms"? How many of us this morning need to just hear that God is a God that's patient and is willing to let us ask the hard questions when we choose to look up? I wonder for some of us if that's the invitation that we need this morning. But that's not actually where our scripture ends. And we're gonna go to a really quick part because often this gets overlooked. So Thomas, again, remember, Thomas is hanging with the disciples. They're like, "Hey, by the way, man, we hung out with Jesus," and he's the only one. Like, you ever been in church and been like, "I feel like I'm the only one who's feeling this"? I know maybe it's just me, but you know, I'm the only one who has these doubts. I'll tell you, we all carry these in. So we see in the next portion, we'll read this in John chapter 20, verse 26, and just the first part of John chapter 20, verse 26. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. A week! Jesus just showed up to the disciples, and a week later, Thomas is still waiting. He didn't wait a week for the other disciples. He just showed up. And a week later, you ever been sitting in some doubts that maybe, just maybe, they start at this size, but some time goes by, and they feel a little bit bigger, they feel a little bit weightier, then ultimately, time goes by, and they grow, and you just go, God, why are you waiting? And here's the truth, I don't have that answer. I don't know why God waits on that time. But I love what we see in this passage that, again, I think I've overlooked all too often, is that a week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Thomas was not alone. And I think so many of us feel like we got to go through our doubts alone. Thomas has a group of people, all of whom have had an experience with Jesus. And yet Thomas is not, and they don't judge him. They don't say, Thomas, unless you meet with Jesus, you can't hang out with us. A week later, all the disciples were together and Thomas was with them. Two questions for you. One is, for those of you who follow Jesus, is your circle big enough to welcome in people who maybe are not there yet? Do we live a life in our communities that say, hey, whatever doubts you have, you're welcome here too. A week later, are we with the Thomases? The second question, those of us who carry these doubts that tend to isolate us and push us away, are we willing to look around, which is our second invitation, to look to who is around us, to realize that we do not have to doubt alone? You know, as I was watching these beach ball videos, it reminded me of this story from one of our summer camps. And we had a beach ball probably three or four times the size, and we were doing a game with it. We lined up our junior hires on one side of the football field, the other side of the football field, and we had the giant beach ball in the middle. Again, massive. And we said, on the count of three, you're going to run at this beach ball and try to push it over the end zone. And so, again, as a student pastor, I've been doing this for a while. You learn things after a game maybe doesn't go the way you thought it would go. But junior highers are resilient people. Grateful for that, guys. One, two, three. They sprint full speed, 50-yard line. Now, what happens when two people hit opposite sides of this at the same time is what's considered a physics lesson. Because the beach ball doesn't move that much, but they sure did. And we realized really quickly, this became like some test of resiliency, and they keep trying to jump and they're bouncing off side by side because that giant ball was in the middle. But we realized we pivoted the game. So instead of having them start one side or the other, we actually had them start in the middle. And this is what we did. We said, on the count of three, everyone lift this up. And they held it above their head. And the game started. And what just before, rounds before, became something that was getting in their way, became something that together they could lift up and engage with. Maybe for you, the invitation is to look around, realizing that you don't have to doubt alone. I wonder if today you came in by yourself and you wondered, hey, I don't know if anyone can handle this. And I wonder if you look down your row, I wonder if there's someone else in your row going like, I kind of am feeling that too. What would it look like, I don't know, if we had a place to gather on Sunday mornings or a place to gather midweek in a group where we could hold our doubts together? I'm just wondering what that could look like. I don't know if we have the context for that. You know, one of the reasons we love camp for junior highers and high schoolers is because we can go away and remember that we're meant to do faith together. And this really, really small portion of that scripture, we're reminded that the disciples didn't leave Thomas out or move out without him. They brought him along, and we're also reminded that Thomas chose to not doubt alone. How many of us just need that reminder and that invitation this morning to look around and remember that we do not have to doubt alone? Well, it brings us to the third invitation, and I want to take us to John chapter 20. We're going to, again, pick it up in verse 26, and we'll read through. And it says this, a week later, Okay, we know that. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Again, just imagine, what does it feel like to be Thomas? My third Sunday, my fourth Sunday, my third year, my fifth year, my sophomore year, I'm still sitting here waiting. I don't have to ask you too much what it feels like to be in that waiting. But a week later, and Thomas was with them, though the doors were locked, now again, this will sound familiar, though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Then get this, stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord, my God." Now, a number of things happen, and so I want to break it down for us piece by piece. So again, they're waiting, and what we realize is Jesus chose to show up in our doubts. Jesus comes to Thomas in his doubts, and again, early in John chapter 20, disciples are behind a locked door. Jesus appears to them, says, "Hey, check out my hands, check out my side." A week later, Thomas says, "Unless I have that experience," and a week later, Jesus shows up. Says, "Put your hands here, put your fingers here." But then he adds this part. He says this, "Stop doubting and believe." Now, I'll be honest with you, I struggle with that. You ever read something in scripture where like, Jesus, I don't know, man, like I agree with most of this. That's tough. I've been a pastor for a long time. I carry these things around all the time. One of the things I love about junior highers and high schoolers is we're a community of people who are like, yeah, we got all these doubts. Let's just figure it out, play some games in the middle of it. Sometimes I feel like, and I tell myself, I'm not really an adult yet. I have three kids, but I'm like, I'm not an adult yet. Sometimes I feel like in the adult community, we feel like we gotta like have everything figured out, right? Like there are no doubts here. Don't look this way. Probably a number of people, earlier on when I said, how many of us have doubts? You thought of somebody else, and then you're like, I wouldn't tell anyone mine. But what's the beautiful thing about our community is we all have doubts. We have big doubts. We have doubts that aren't getting in the way, but we all carry these. And what we see in scripture is that doubt is not a conclusion. Doubt is not a conclusion, it's a conversation. Thomas doesn't have a doubt and he leaves the disciples and said, hey man, it's been a good 3 years. I'm gonna head off and do some other things. He waits with his people. And what we see is Jesus comes to him in his doubts. And doubt is not the final word or the final say. Doubt's not a conclusion, it's a conversation. For so many of us, our doubts hold us from actually what our doubts can offer us. Now get this, often we feel like doubts are opposite to faith. But ultimately, our doubts can be an invitation to a deeper faith. Late Pastor Tim Keller talks about how doubts are like antibodies in the body when it comes to faith. They actually can strengthen your faith because they cause you to wrestle internally with the doubts that you are facing. And so I think instead of us shying away from doubts, being fearful of doubts, what that invitation is, it's an invitation to make our faith stronger. You ever talk to somebody who's overcome a massive doubt or a massive issue, or you've heard stories where people have seen God show up in unique ways? As you watch the testimonies earlier on in our worship set, you can't help but be moved, because when we hear of someone's experience with Jesus that helps them overcome something in their life, we say we want that too. We celebrate that. We've experienced that. That's what we want to see. And I think because our heart is telling us that doubt is not a conclusion, it's a conversation. So for some of us, the invitation is to look inside. We need to look inside. We need to wrestle with the doubts that we are facing, the doubts that have maybe held us from community, held us from worship, held us from engagement, because we put our doubts up here and we go, yep, I'm just carrying this around. We're gonna sit in the seat, excuse me. What would it be like if we could carry these together? What would it be like if we knew that although I carry this right now, it's not the conclusion, it's a conversation? What would it be like if the doubt that I have can help me have a stronger faith? And what we came in with that weighed us down, we realized that something will make us stronger. I just wonder if there's an invitation for us to take a further step. And doubt is the way of telling us you just need to be willing to take a step. Think about this. My oldest son, he's 12. About 2 years ago when we were at Disney World, my son loves heights. And this is the worst thing in the world for a father who's terrified of heights. Because when you have a 10-year-old who loves heights, you have to pretend like you're not terrified of heights so I don't get made fun of by my 10-year-old. And so he goes, Dad, I want to go on this water slide. So I, of course, quick Google search, realize it's like the 7th tallest water slide in the world, which is not a statistic I needed, nor is it an experience I want. And so I said, great, man. Hey, why don't you go on up there and check it out? He goes, why don't you come with me? I go, just go check it out for me. So he comes back about 20 minutes later, and I'm hoping he comes down and going, you're right, that was terrifying. I never want to do that again. He comes down 20 minutes later. He's like, it was awesome. Let's go. And I said, look at the water slide, I think, and then I teared up a bit. This is how tall the water slide was. You had to take a tram. You do that with skiing, not water slide. So I'm in the tram, just terrified. Like, good gosh, what's going to happen? And my son is super, super pumped. We get up to the top, and he goes, do you want to go first? I go, no, man, you go first. Because I knew then I could have a mental breakdown after he went down the water slide. And so he gets in, and it's one of those where you don't see the edge. You just see people drop. I'm convinced some people disappeared. Like, that could be how the rapture happens. Like, just out. So I go, great, 10-year-old. It might be, it's great, man. Been great to know you. He goes off the water slide, and then everyone's pumped up there. Like, they're excited. Like, this is nuts to me. I'm like, I'm not excited. I'm terrified. Grateful I'm a pastor. So I go in. I close my eyes, and just over that hill and down. And as you sit down on the slide, and they go, like, go like this, and you just got to, like, slide forward a little bit. I'm like, just a little bit, huh? But once you slide forward over that edge, the slide takes you. And he got down, and he was like, wasn't that incredible? I'm not going to lie to you. No, it was still terrifying. But I'm so glad I did it. There are some of us in this room. The doubts we carry have just held us back from experiencing what God wants us to experience. I think if I look internally, am I going to let my fear rob me from experience? And I guess the question I ask is, am I going to let my doubt rob me from a deeper faith? Maybe for some of us, it's just, are you willing to go a little bit over the edge and the slide will take you? You know, Sean kind of planted a seed about baptism for some of us. That step is actually baptism today. You walked in going, I'm getting coffee with a friend after church, and you're laying here going like, no, this is my time. I'm going to go get coffee with a friend, but after my baptism. Like, for some of us, we need to actually just slide over that step just a little bit because our doubt has brought us to a place where we're ready to go. Because doubt is not a conclusion. Doubt is a conversation. And I think I hear Jesus, when he looks at Thomas and says, stop doubting and believe. Some people read that as Jesus like, stop doubting and believe. But have you ever encouraged someone to do something you really badly want them to do? You don't yell at them, but you are strong. It's like, just stop doubting and believe. Like, this is what I want for you, Thomas. Stop doubting and believe. This is what I want for you. Stop doubting and believe. He doesn't say your doubts aren't welcome. What he says is, don't let your doubts get in the way of what's next. And then Jesus leaves us with this right after that passage. Jesus told them, because you have seen me, you have believed. He said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Because Jesus knows there's so many of us who just go, if I could just have that experience, if I could just have that peace, if I could just be in Thomas's shoes or the disciples' shoes. He says, hey, I know you're going to feel that way, but blessed are you who have not yet seen and yet have believed. The truth is this. Jesus comes to us in our doubts. Whatever we're carrying, may it be big or small, whatever we walk into, Jesus enters into the space. And he offers us three invitations. He says, hey, will you look up and just remember that you can ask big questions. The God of the universe, the God who created you and I, he can handle it. Will you look around and remember that you do not have to do it alone? What a beautiful room this is. You know, you all look at the stage, I get to look at all of you. And hundreds, not thousands of faces going, we don't have to do this alone. And will you look inside and just wonder, what is that piece that might be keeping you from what Jesus has next? Knowing the doubt's not a conclusion, but it's a conversation. I believe that as we conclude this series, as we walk in with our doubts, that God wants to do some work in this space. And I believe there are people here who are asking themselves, what would it look like if I took that step? So I want to offer some space for us to do that. I want to pray, and then I want to point us to a story where we can see someone did just that. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that you're a God who welcomes us in our doubts. For those of us who are not yet ready, God, that we just need to ask big questions. For those of us who need to be reminded that we should not doubt alone, God. For those of us who just need to look within and wonder what is keeping us back from that next step. God, we are grateful that you're a God who meets us and comes to us in our doubts. God, allow us to do that work. Allow us to ask those questions as we watch this story about the way you continue to change lives. Amen.